True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And take the turnover with 5 seconds to go as Billy Donovan and Greg Popovich meet at midcourt, offering great sportsmanship.
Yep.
They'll see each other and again in a couple of weeks in Texas, and this ball game is over. Bulls win! Bulls win! Bulls win! 114-95, let's dance!
Your last dance, actually, by the way, was pretty good with Benny. You're going to have to top that here tonight. But
yeah.
Another great effort by the Bulls.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
That was a call you heard here on The Score. Chuck Swirsky, Dancing with the Swirsk. Hey, I think that's coming to ABC. Dancing with the Swirsk and Bill Winnington. The win over the Spurs. Before we get to Julia Poe, This note, the Bears announced a minute ago, made it official. Cairo Santos is been re-signed. He got a new contract extension for Christmas. Brad Biggs of the Tribune and the Score, a regular expert here on the Score, 4-year deal, $16 million contract, $60 million contract extension, $9.5 million guaranteed, according to a league source. So there you go. The kicker, the best part of the offense. I know it's special teams, but he's still the best part of the offense. Santos is coming back. Meanwhile, speaking of offense, let's go to the guest hotline presented by Circa Sports in Illinois. And talk to Julia Poe. She covers the Bulls for the Tribune. Julia, thanks for joining me today. Speaking of offense, the Bulls have won by seemingly passing the ball a lot. Who'd have thunk it? So give me your thoughts on this change, this improvement. What do you see so far, and where does this go?
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for having me on. And like you said, the offense is clicking in a way that I think when we talked last a couple weeks ago would seem almost inconceivable. And I think the most interesting thing is that what we're seeing right now is what was being described to the beat reporters like myself throughout preseason. We heard this over and over again, that this was exactly what they wanted the offense to look like when we were in Nashville. It just seems like it was delayed about 19 games before they were able to figure out kind of what that needed to look like on the court. But now we're seeing kind of that realization of that vision, which really kind of has been the centerpiece of what they've wanted out of this offense, not just this year, but for the last three seasons.
Julia Poe is my guest. She covers the Bulls for the Tribune. It wasn't delayed 19 games. It was 19 games plus a key injury. I would always start with the simplest thing, the Occam's razor idea. The simplest answer is the correct one. And you remove Zach LaVine, and then suddenly Kobe White becomes, I don't know, maybe all-star worthy. Patrick Williams begins to look like a guy that only AK had seen in what seemed to be a delusion or some kind of bong hit that he took, and now suddenly the guy is playing the way we were told the guy could play. With all of this happening, after Zach LaVine's injury, with his absence from the lineup, it's, I know the team, both players, coaches, executives, can't come out and say it, but if it's this obvious the way that looks, is it that true? Isn't that the obvious, the truth?
Yeah, it's the toughest possible timing for this turnaround, and I think there's layers to it, obviously. Like, that team was shooting the ball horribly for those first 19 games, and I think you can't accredit that to any one player. I mean, it was just the way the ball was coming off of Kobe's hand, Patrick's hand, it looked right, and then it just was not going in. And throughout that stretch, everyone kept repeating, it can't last, it can't last, like, it'll get better, and it did. So I think that is part of it. The fact that that turnaround came basically precisely when LaVine went out obviously is incredibly unfortunate. But I think it's also that players who have not necessarily been asked to step up to this level are doing so. And when there's more room on the court and there's more time for guys like Kobe, like Patrick, to kind of take control of moments, they're really fitting into that. And I think another part of it is the way that both DeMar DeRozan and Nikola Vucevic, the way that they are adapting their game around those players, there's just a certain level of synergy there that it does feel like things were a little bit crowded and maybe that vision was not as streamlined as it is now when they're working on a little bit of a shoestring budget with both LaVine and then also with Torrey Craig out. It just feels like there's a very streamlined idea of, like, okay, this is how things have to look or everything is going to be disastrous when we're on the court together.
You know, you mentioned DeRozan, and he had been out early too. And when this started and suddenly the Bulls became an interesting team to watch, an entertaining team to watch, and what's going to happen when a guy who was part of the Big Three that didn't really accomplish much as part of the Big Three, but certainly individually. And this was the DeMar DeRozan who became so important to a Spurs team that you're getting the best of a almost a chameleon kind of player with a really high basketball IQ. And he's talked about basketball IQs. There's a subtext here I could jump to that conclusion, but this DeMar DeRozan is such a chameleon for what the Bulls need and seemingly a great example to the younger players you're talking about coming on.
You're exactly right. And you're right about this kind of harkening back to how he was in San Antonio. I talked to DeMar about that a couple weeks ago when we were on the road, about how the first time that Greg Popovich introduced him in San Antonio to his teammates, he was like, here's our point guard. And DeMar was kind of like, what the heck do you mean? I'm not a point guard. And he never quite turned into that, obviously, but the way that he can work as a facilitator, especially in the first half, he really likes to kind of not ease into games, but he likes to be that facilitator in the first half and kind of look around and be like, okay, here's where we're going to put the ball. Here's where we're going to put the ball. And then in those third and fourth quarters, he takes over for, not for himself, but he just kind of takes things over a little bit more on his own with his own scoring. And I think that balance is just really clicking nicely with what Kobe and with what Patrick, and even with Caruso and Vucevic, what all of them are doing. That first half, second half balance really seems to be working well right now.
You know, the Patrick Williams question, and I don't know if it's as simple as, not that it's specifically Zach LaVine not being in the lineup, but that it was one of the adult players. We talked about this before, about the curious case of Patrick Williams not being able to hold down a starting lineup because he was too either deferential or intimidated or too respectful of all of the players with more experience and more accomplishments. But when he got with the second unit, you had seen what he was capable of. And now that back in the starting lineup, he looks comfortable now that there's one fewer adult on the court with him. Again, I'm reducing it perhaps to its simplest elements, but that seems to be a big difference for me as far as why you're seeing this guy become the player they spent the fourth overall draft pick on.
Sure. I mean, I've always been probably kind of on the far end of the spectrum in terms of preaching patience with Patrick. I just have always felt like he was very young and you just kind of had to take that growth period as what it was. But I do think, again, I think it's really easy to overlook how poorly everyone, especially Patrick, was shooting the ball through those first 19, 20 games. And I feel personally that that is a huge part of this lift we're seeing from him recently. Yes, it's the spacing, it's the passing, it's everything else. But his confidence level when that shot starts to fall, that spreads to everything else that he does. And the moment that his three-point shot started clicking again and he got that back over 40%, he started being able to add other parts of his game, because you can't go from the perimeter to the rim if people aren't biting on your shot because your shot hasn't been falling. And I think he's starting to get into that groove, in part just because that very crucial aspect of his game is coming together. He was defending well from the jump this season. He was doing some of those smaller things better. And I think he's just able to grow more when there is that feeling of this part of my game is going well and I can take risks and there's room for me to take risks without being, you know, feeling like I'm going to get pushed out of that starting group. And I think he's just really thriving in that right now. And the next part of that puzzle, if he's going to be successful, is him being able to do that when you do have a full roster and a full healthy roster available.
Julia Poe is my guest. She covers the Bulls for the Tribune. We're talking Bulls here on The Score. You will hear them tonight against the Cavs. 6:45, I believe, is Chuck's pregame show. Chuck and Bill Winnington, Alyssa Bergamini will bring you the action. Even before, the way this team has turned it around, and they are so much more fun to watch. Even before I read about Donovan Mitchell being out with illness, and Garland and Evans were already out, and Mobley was already out, and I'm thinking, I expected them to win this game anyways. I mean, that's how, before it was like, oh, how are they going to invent a way to lose? Whose face goes on this loss? And I've gotten back to the point where I expect, yeah, this should be a win. Even if Mitchell had been in the lineup, as good a player as he is, this seems to have changed my perspective. And I don't know if you've noticed the players, you know them better. You've seen the personalities, you've seen the attitude. Winning does this, but have you noticed any kind of significant change in the way they talk, carry themselves, make themselves available even?
Certainly. I mean, I have always been impressed with this group in terms of their ability to keep a certain necessary amount of levity in the locker room. I know a lot was made of that first game when they had the players meeting and everything, but this has never been a locker room this season. I mean, after a loss, it's never fun to go in there. There's never, you know, guys aren't happy, but there's never been a sense of like, this is getting sour, this is getting ugly in here. And I was impressed by that this year, honestly. But there's a lightness now. There's a certain feeling of, you see the way that they're hyping each other up. Kobe White can't go 5 seconds without complimenting like three of his teammates in the same sentence. There is just a certain level, I think, of feeling that buoyance. And it comes down to just feeling the coin flip of going from, oh, this team can lose to anyone, to this team can win over anyone on any given day. It doesn't mean they're going to, but they do have the competitiveness back, where I think you go into a game and you feel like, yeah, we're going to be in competition with anyone, even if it's Philly, even if it's Milwaukee. And that's something that they were really scrambling to find a few weeks ago. And now there's just kind of that underlying confidence in there for sure.
Okay, Julia, before I let you go, I'm going to ask you this, the $200 million question. After seeing the way Vooch and DeRozan began to show their basketball IQ and adapt to what was going on and facilitate this team becoming better, more interesting, playing the way they had talked about, the coach in the front office had talked about. And I'd always thought, fair or not, that DeRozan's remarks about basketball IQ were aimed at Zach LaVine. So the $200 million question is, does Zach LaVine see the same thing about being forced to adapt to what the team is doing, or will he come back as Zach LaVine?
Well, I mean, twofold on that. First, I don't think anything DeMar says is aimed at Zach. I legitimately do not. Okay. When he's talking about that, I think he's talking more. He devotes so much of his time and his mental energy to thinking about how to grow the younger guys on the team. I think when he talks about that, that's what he's talking about, just from my own perspective. But in terms of Zach, that's the make or break thing that he has to do. If he's set, you know, we're down to being within the, you know, kind of the time frame when he should be starting to ramp back up for a return. If and when he gets back on the court with the Bulls, he has to show that he can fit into this. And I think there are a lot of reasons to look at him as a player and say, yes, he can fit this. He fits a, you know, high volume assist offense. He fits into a high 3-point shooting volume offense. It's just a matter of being able to make sure that the ball does not get stuck when he's on the court. And that's partially on him. And that's partially on his teammates. Like it's a mutual thing of making sure that the gravity of who he is as a player and how he plays does not kind of pull everything else out of orbit. Because really what we're seeing now, it's obviously Kobe's having the breakout, but it's not just one player. It's having a balance in an offense. And, you know, sure, the contract is a big deal, but it's the weight of who he is as a player that Zach has to make sure doesn't throw the rest of that off balance.
Julia, great insight. I appreciate you sharing that with us, and I wish you a good happy holiday.
Thank you very much. Happy holidays.
Thank you. Julia Poe of the Chicago Tribune talking Bulls here. You hear the Bulls tonight, Bulls and Cavs. Chuck on the pregame show at 6:45. Also, later this afternoon, here are a couple broadcast notes. Later this afternoon, you'll be able to hear Bengals versus Steelers in the first game of today's NFL doubleheader. Coverage starts at 3 with kickoff at 3:30 right here on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app. Later this hour, you're going to hear Olin Krutz. Olin Krutz, he has thoughts. So they'll open your eyes, open your ears. After this break, we'll come back. The cultural zeitgeist. In the cultural zeitgeist, about the cultural zeitgeist, what could, all three words, the dude abides. I'm Steve Rosenblum, Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio 670.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Score. We have the cultural zeitgeist.
Right now, you're doing something for the culture.
Oh, baby.
Do it for the culture.
For the culture.
Do it. Do it. Do it a little slower. Like.
I want you to tell all your friends about me.
What are you?
I'm Batman.
I knew it was you, Fredo. You broke my heart. You broke my heart.
That's the anthem. Holla. Get your damn hands up. I do this for my culture.
Joe, warn the Chiefs.
Owns. Owns.
Owns. Owns.
I don't know.
I think we've really penetrated the cultural zeitgeist.
Welcome into the cultural zeitgeist on Saturday Suckage. First, let me just start by saying the dude rocks.
Are you employed, Mr. Lebowski?
Let me explain something to you. I am not Mr. Lebowski. You're Mr. Lebowski. I'm the dude. So that's what you call me, you know? That or his dudeness or duder or, you know, El Duderino, if you're not into the whole brevity thing.
Yes, indeed. One of the five greatest movies of all time. They auctioned off a ton of memorabilia last Saturday from the iconic The Big Lebowski, and somebody's getting some great Hanukkah gifts, great Christmas gifts, great Festivus gifts. For example, the cover art of the official Big Lebowski storyboard book was estimated to go for $500 to $700. It went for $13,000. If you wanted a bowling pin on which Jeff Bridges signed his name and doodled a bit, one of them went for $9,100. $9,100. And speaking of bowling, a central part of the Big Lebowski, you could get a ball return signed by Jeff Bridges. And I mean the whole device that returned your ball ready for the next throw. That was up for auction. It was estimated to go for $1,000, $2,000. It went for more than $16,000 at this Big Lebowski. But here are the big prizes. This is what you came for. The iconic robe outfit and sunglasses worn by the dude, or El Duderino, if you're not into that whole brevity thing. The sunglasses were estimated to sell for $20,000 to $30,000. Went for $88,900. Those sunglasses worn by the dude. And the robe. The brown fleece robe. V-neck white t-shirt included. Estimated to go for $30,000 to $50,000. The set sold for $169,000.
Take it easy, dude.
Oh, yeah.
I know that you will.
Yeah, well, the dude abides.
Yes, he does. $169,000 for the brown fleece robe, V-neck white t-shirt from the movie. Okay, guess who turned 75 on Thursday, ladies and gentlemen?
English, mother... Do you speak it?
Indeed, Samuel L. Jackson. He owns that word, the one we couldn't say, the one we bleeped out. He owns that word. Not a lot of people could say that, but there was, right, in Pulp Fiction. He owns that 12-letter word that starts with mother and ends with, I am Samuel L. Jackson. And, by the way, there was one time on a talk show, I think it was Letterman, said, what does the L stand for? And he turned and said, Lawrence Fishburne. One of the greatest answers of all time. All right, we'll take a break. We come back. Olin Krutz, he had some thoughts. He was on with Anthony Herron and Marshall Harris. And we will bring you that after this break on Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score. In Odyssey Station.
Thanks for listening. All year, all the time, everyone, Saturday the Wake and Bake Club, fellow suckageers, I hope for your holidays you get a rug, as the 262 texter says, a rug that really ties your room together. We will bring you Olin Krutz right now. He was on with Anthony Herron and Marshall Harris in for Parkins and Spiegel, and talking Bears Cardinals. And we hope you have a merry and safe holiday. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Gotta love it. Especially having him on the station. Pre-game, post-game, all throughout the week. Now he's here on the Parkinson Spiegel Show. This segment with Olin Krutz is brought to you by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS. And the way, Anthony Herron and Marshall Harris here on the Parkinson Spiegel Show. The holiday season, because we've been in a very festive mood, Marshall and I, so far. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering now, with the results of the Cleveland game last week, does this ramp up your willingness to just kind of focus on the holidays and everything else? Are you still kind of champing at the bit a little bit for some Bears football?
Always want some football, Big Ann. I'm like you, man. I can't get enough, right? And
even the development of the young guys for the Chicago Bears. And obviously it's the Cardinals coming to town and they don't have you know, a roster that scares you when they show up, but they do have a right tackle, young sixth pick of the draft this year, Paris Johnson Jr. out of Ohio State, that I'm interested in watching go against Montez Sweat. They got, you know, Will Hernandez in there at right guard, offensive line playing decently. Now their defense, you know, they remind me of the Chicago Bears when they were going through their rebuild last year when you watched them on film. But with the Chicago Bears showing up Sunday, I'll be watching. I'll be watching all the football. I'll be watching all the bowl games like you, Big Ant. I'll be excited this week.
Hold on. What I'm curious about, because you talked about, you know, you get towards the end of the season, you're either still in it or you're not. Mm-hmm. I'm curious what your attitude was as a player and now as somebody who's following the team from the outside, if that changes much, whether the team's been, once the team's been eliminated.
Yeah, it's a really good question because people wonder about that, right? When you see teams getting eliminated. I tell you what's not eliminated, Marshall, your job. Your job is on the line every day in the NFL. And if you look through the Bears roster, they don't have guys that say, I'm going to take this game off. And most of the times when you have guys who can take the game off because they're going to be here next year anyway, they're the kind of guys who don't. They don't take the game off. That's why they're in the position they're in where they can take the game off because they never do. Right. And if you're asking me when I play, man, if I strap the helmet up, when I put my pads on, I want to go out there and get after somebody, no matter where we were in the season or as a football team, because I knew, as most guys know, Big Ant will tell you, your film is your resume and you better worry about what it looks like every week. And don't think people don't notice if you're about to shut it down.
With where Arizona is right now for Kyler Murray coming back from injury about a month ago, and you would imagine he feels like maybe there's a little something for him to prove to his organization. Of course, we've all been talking throughout the season here about Justin Fields and what he may feel like he's still got to prove to the Bears and trying to see if he can solidify himself as a part of this team's future. But the clip that Tyler and Alex played, even just in your intro coming in here, where, you know, I know you when it's required, we all try to walk that balance, be critical of Justin Fields, but then be critical of Luke Getsy as well when it feels like those things aren't cohesive. I don't know. The blame pie can be a complex thing for this because it feels like it can show up where neither guy at times is executing their job in the way that they should. How do you see that aspect of the Bears offensive coordinator and play caller and the Bears quarterback and where they're each at in their development?
Yeah, they were supposed to develop together, and we've kind of we were stalling here a little bit unless we're going against the Lions, right? It just seems like they've never been quite be able to figure each other out. And you know, with Justin Fields, it's kind of like Big Ant, I was saying, and Marshall, I was saying, look, with Justin Fields, I know what I'm going to get, right? When he plays teams like the Lions, if we get 100 yards rushing, he's going to look good. And just, can he win the game at the end of the game? Can he make the play? And when he plays a pressure defense like the Cleveland Browns and Jim Schwartz bring, right, where you talk about Bowles, right, or you talk about Flores, talk about guys with good secondaries, they can go one-on-one with DJ Moore, right? They Byron Murphy for the Vikings. When he's one-on-one with DJ Moore, he does a nice job. Where else is Justin Fields going to go with the ball? And I hear Bowen a lot on the Bernstein and Holmes show talking about Matt Bowen, who does a great job analyzing the Chicago Bears, actually analyzing the whole NFL. But he talks about they got to get Mooney going a little bit for this offense. But to your question, Big Ant, who do we blame? Who is further along in development? I think both guys would say that they haven't got what they wanted out of this year. They haven't got this offense to the point that both guys want that. They're both not real comfortable with each other, play calling wise, making play wise. Justin Fields said that earlier in the year. You had to ask him what's bogging him down. He flat out said coaching. Right? He said coaching. I just feel like we should do less. It should be a little more simple. So who do you blame? The hard thing is at this point in their careers was the Cleveland Browns game was not executing that drive or making a play at some point to end the game after the way the defense played. Was that the breaking point? I think that's the question everybody's asking.
Sounds like we're going to find out this week, because if there was ever a golden opportunity for the offense to rev up and fire back, it's against this Cardinals team, which has, I believe, the second worst scoring defense in the entire league. They haven't been shy about giving up points. That's never been an issue. So how much are you looking at this game, and how much should the Bears be looking at this game? Because here's my thing. After the Cleveland game, you're like, okay, they can win these other three games, and it's not going to mean as much because playoffs are probably not happening. I mean, they got like a 3% chance to make the playoffs even if they win out. So I'm asking you, Every week we do this, Olin. We look at the game and we say, well, Justin Fields looked okay, or Justin Fields didn't, or Luke Getsy's play calling was good, or it was trash. At what point, and I guess the end of the season, we'll know in 3 weeks, do you think Ryan Poles or Kevin Warren or whoever's making these decisions has already made some type of decision on, if it's not Luke Getsy specifically, this entire coaching staff?
I think we can all agree that they're leaning one way or the other right now. They're leaning one way or the other. And when you watch this game, I at least got to see my guys do. Everyone knows what the Cardinals defense is coming in. Second worst in the league. They give a lot of yards. They give a lot of passing yards. I think they're decimated in the secondary coming in. You like to see Mooney get going. I don't know if Cole Kmet is going to be out there on the field. I would imagine they're going to have a hard time slowing down DJ Moore and Justin Fields. Defenses like this struggle. If the Bears can get any semblance of a run game going, get their offensive line rolling downhill, the Cardinals will be on their heels all day. But to your question, what does that do for the future of Justin Fields and Luke Getsy? I don't know. I can't answer that question. I can't imagine much. Right? I can't imagine much if they come out here, put on a show. I thought you go against the number one defense in the Cleveland Browns, even though they had injuries, I thought that was a golden opportunity for them there. The only other thing I think you could do maybe this year is go up there in Green Bay and put a lot of points on them and look really good and really effective against Joe Barry's unit up there in the last week of the season. But as far as the Cardinals goes, as far as this game, you have to all every week we talked about earlier in this segment. We gotta put who we are on film. We gotta put our resume on film every week. Justin Fields, if they don't want you, I'm sure damn somebody else does. He's got elite legs, got an elite arm. Does someone out there there's another coach. We all know coaches have the biggest egos. Do they think they can get him going, put him in the right situation to make plays?
You certainly had a teammate who had a lot of those physical traits that were always really – coaches were encouraged by what Jay Cutler could bring to the table, and then you kind of cycle through some coordinators and some head coaches throughout your career, and maybe there's a ceiling that will end up getting reached there. This segment with Olin Cruz is brought to you by the Illinois Department of Transportation. Road safety is not a game. Learn more at itsnotagameillinois.com. Olin, a few weeks back, maybe over a month ago at this point, when Nate Davis was prepared to return to the lineup, you felt really strongly back then about keeping Tevin Jenkins and Darnell Wright together on the right side of the formation. And when that decision was being prepared to be made, I felt like, man, it makes so much sense to put Nate Davis back at the spot he's excelled at in his NFL career. We've seen Tevin Jenkins play well on the left side. But then, frankly, since then, the run game just isn't the same run game that it was when Jenkins and Wright were next to each other. So what were your concerns about moving Jenkins at that time? And do you see that as a part of the reason why the run game hasn't been the same?
I do. I think my concern was it's been a long time around here, Big Ant, and for the Chicago Bears, that we've had an elite side of the line. By that, I mean an elite run-blocking group together. And I thought Tevin Jenkins, Darnell Wright, and Mercedes Lewis together were an elite side of an offensive line that you would run downhill behind in critical moments. And we've seen since then, like you're talking about, on short yardage situations, them struggle a little bit, right? Because where do you go? You got to have sometimes, like you guys know, you got to have times, man, when the whole stadium, the guy up in section 400 knows where you're running the ball and people still can't stop you, right? The Philadelphia Eagles quarterback sneak. A play like that. A play where, like, look, guys, we're running this gap play downhill behind Tevin Jenkins, Darnell Wright, and Mercedes Lewis, and there's nothing you can do about it. And that's what I was worried about. I agreed with you about Tevin. You can put him somewhere he can play well, right? And he can do a good job, and he always does that. All the questions about him has just been his health. Mm-hmm. And Nate Davis, a very good football player when he's playing well. He's been in and out of the lineup this year. It's been kind of an up-and-down season for him. I think some of that is consistency is just not playing a whole lot of football. But that was my worry, Big Ant, when they moved Tevin Jenkins out of that right guard spot. I really liked that right side of the offense side. I really liked that double team. I really liked the way they were all working well together over there. And like you know, Chicago Bears offense over the years, right? I was there 13 years. I've been watching them ever since as an analyst. Not a lot of elite players and or an elite side of an offensive line or elite wide receiver unit, elite tight end unit, elite. We find something elite. If it looks elite on film, in my opinion, leave it alone.
Yeah, that's a good point. One thing they will be leaving alone, I think, at this point is Montez Sweat, right? Like, he just let him do what he does. Right. They traded for him. They gave him all the money. And now he's like, that was a good investment. I want to know, just, Olin, through your nuanced view, who else is really standing out to you since the Montez Sweat trade, as far as who else has been affected, you think, in the most positive manner, whether it's in the back of the defense or up front alongside him? Because this defense has been different. They have been difference makers in the fact that they've had so many turnovers created in the last 4 or 5 weeks.
Well, there was a guy, now, he was standing out before Montez showed up, man. And I wonder if Big Ant would agree with me. But Andrew Billings.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say
this guy plays football, man. I mean, he's been getting after guys. And I tell you, I tell people this, Montez Sweat looks like that because the Bears almost had everything else. They just needed a pass rusher, right? Billings has been dominating that middle of the offensive line. TJ Edwards now doing really good things. Love watching him play. Savvy, tough, hits people, comes downhill. You know, I think, again, I mentioned Matt Bowen on his Instagram page, put him blitzing and running over Kareem Hunt. I mean, you love those kind of football plays. But let me keep the spotlight on the big man in the middle, Andrew Billings, man. He is I'm a center, Big Ed, you know that. He's a handful, man. I watched him get that heavy tilt. He does that return stunt. I know I'm getting into like things now where I talk about certain schematic things. The listeners think, what the hell is Olin talking about? But I love watching Andrew Billings play. I remember from the first, I think it was the first play of the year. I got to go back and look. But I think he threw the Green Bay Packers center on his back. And I was excited from then. I've been talking about him ever since, how he's anchoring the middle of that line. So I actually think Montez Sweat is benefiting also from the way Andrew Billings, Justin Jones is getting going a little bit. I'll let Big Ant break down Javon Dexter's technique against the run. Just really, that defensive unit's been fun to watch. I mean, gosh, guys, 14 takeaways in 4 games. Give me a break, right? Out of their 23, now they're 6 in the league in takeaways. 14, and they're 2-2. That's almost impossible. You make 14 takeaways and be 2-2.
Olin, you're making me sad because when you say it like that, man. And the wins and losses don't match up to what that should be, I look at Lucas like, I don't hate anyone, Olin. I want everyone to do well at their job. You know, I don't want to see anyone lose their job, but no. Man, Luke Getsy got to go. Luke Getsy got to go.
No, I mean, to your point with Justin Fields and this offense and the thing, it just has not looked the way you want it to look at this point in the season, right? And just going into that game, even though I didn't like that it was tied after the way the defense played, right? You didn't like that part about it because the defense was lights out for so long. Of course, they had their breakdowns again at the end of the game, which they have to go over and look at. You know, the Lions game last year when it was 31-30, the Denver game this year, obviously the defense did enough to win that game. But as far as when you get to a point, we all wanted what, guys, last week? We all wanted to see Justin Fields in a critical situation with the ball in his hands. Mm-hmm. That's what we wanted to see. That's what I wanted to see. If I'm Ryan Poles, that's what I wanted. You guys played that clip of me. You can tell I'm still frustrated about that, watching those play calls on that drive. And if you ask me, if anything, at the end of the year, if they bring Coach Getsy in the office, and like you said, you don't want to talk about another man losing their job, and we all know the kind of work they put in at Hallis Hall. But if anything seals the deal, it'd be those three plays.
Now, I've been as critical of Luke Getsy as anyone. There was a moment in the game, the 4th and 1, where he did get Justin Fields on the move. Yes, Darnell Mooney, and there's an option to maybe keep the eyes down the field where you got DJ Moore out in space. And that, to me, is at least a run-pass option sort of moment where he got Justin Fields on the move on a 4th and 1. It was exceptional play by Cameron Mitchell, the defender, Bolingbrook High School, one of their finest. Rated Pride is my high school I went to here in Chicago area. But he made a great play getting inside of Darnell Mooney and just
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce canned flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Thanks for listening all year, all the time. Everyone, Saturday the Wake and Bake Club, fellow Suckageers, I hope for your holidays you get a rug, as the 262 texter says, a rug that really ties your room together. We will bring you Olin Krutz right now. He was on with Anthony Herron and Marshall Harris in for Parkins and Spiegel, and talking Bears Cardinals, and we hope you have a merry and safe holiday. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Gotta love it, especially having him on the station, pregame, postgame, all throughout the week. Now he's here on the Parkins and Spiegel Show. This segment with Olin Krutz is brought to you by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS. And the way, Anthony Herron and Marshall Harris here on the Parkins and Spiegel Show. The holiday season, because we've been in a very festive mood, Marshall and I, so far. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering now, with the results of the Cleveland game last week, does this ramp up your willingness to just kind of focus on the holidays and everything else? Are you still kind of champing at the bit a little bit for some Bears football?
Always want some football, Big Ant. I'm like you, man. I can't get enough, right? And even the development of the young guys for the Chicago Bears, and obviously it's the Cardinals coming to town, and they don't have a roster that scares you when they show up. But they do have a right tackle, sixth pick of the draft this year, Paris Johnson Jr. out of Ohio State, that I'm interested in watching go against Montez Sweat. They got, Will Hernandez in there at right guard. Offensive line played decently. Now their defense, they remind me of the Chicago Bears when they were going through their rebuild last year when you watched them on film. But with the Chicago Bears showing up Sunday, I'll be watching. I'll be watching all the football. I'll be watching all the bowl games like you, Big Ant. I'll be excited this week.
Olin, what I'm curious about, because you talked about, you get towards the end of the season, you're either still in it or you're not. Mm-hmm. I'm curious what your attitude was as a player and now as somebody who's following the team from the outside, if that changes much, once the team's been eliminated.
Yeah, it's a really good question, because people wonder about that, right? When you see teams get eliminated, I tell you what's not eliminated, Marshall, your job. Your job is on the line every day in the NFL. And if you look through the Bears roster, they don't have guys that say, I'm going to take this game off. And most of the times when you have guys who can take the game off because they're going to be here next year anyway, they're the kind of guys who don't. They don't take the game off. That's why they're in the position they're in, where they can take the game off, because they never do. Right. And if you're asking me, when I play, man, if I strap the helmet up, when I put my pads on, I want to go out there and get after somebody, no matter where we were in the season or as a football team, because I knew, as most guys know, Big Ant will tell you, your film is your resume, and you better worry about what it looks like every week. And don't think people don't notice if you're about to shut it down.
With where Arizona is right now, for Kyler Murray coming back from injury about a month ago, and you would imagine he feels like maybe there's a little something for him to prove to his organization. Of course, we've all been talking throughout the season here about Justin Fields and what he may feel like he's still got to prove to the Bears, and trying to see if he can solidify himself as a part of this team's future. But the clip that Tyler and Alex played, even just in your intro coming in here, where I know you when it's required, we all try to walk that balance, be critical of Justin Fields, but then be critical of Luke Getsy as well when it feels like those things aren't cohesive. I don't know. The blame pie can be a complex thing for this, because it feels like it can show up where neither guy at times is executing their job in the way that they should. How do you see that aspect of the Bears offensive coordinator and play caller and the Bears quarterback, and where they're each at in their development?
Yeah, they were supposed to develop together, and we've kind of hit we were stalling here a little bit, unless we're going against the Lions, right? It just seems like they've never been quite be able to figure each other out. And you know, with Justin Fields, just kind of like Big Ant, I was saying, and Marshall, I was saying, look, with Justin Fields, I know what I'm going to get, right? When he plays teams like the Lions, if we get 100 yards rushing, he's going to look good. And just, can he win the game at the end of the game? Can he make the play? And when he plays a pressure defense like the Cleveland Browns and Jim Schwartz bring, right, where you talk about Bowles, right, or you talk about Flores, talk about guys with good secondaries that can go one-on-one with DJ Moore, right? Byron Murphy for the Vikings, when he's one-on-one with DJ Moore, he does a nice job. Where else is Justin Fields going to go with the ball? And I hear Bowen a lot on the Bernstein and Holmes show talking about Matt Bowen, who does a great job analyzing the Chicago Bears, actually analyzing the whole NFL. But he talks about they got to get Mooney going a little bit for this offense. But to your question, Big Ant, who do we blame? Who is further along in development? I think both guys would say that they haven't got what they wanted out of this year. They haven't got this offense to the point that both guys wanted. They're both not real comfortable with each other, play calling wise, making play wise. Justin Fields said that earlier in the year. You had to ask him what's bogging him down. He flat out said coaching. Right? He said coaching. I just feel like we should do less. It should be a little more simple. So who do you blame? The hard thing is, at this point in their careers, was the Cleveland Browns game was not executing that drive or making a play at some point to end the game after the way the defense played. Was that the breaking point? I think that's the question everybody's asking.
Sounds like we're going to find out this week, because if there was ever a golden opportunity for the offense to rev up and fire back, it's against this Cardinals team, which has, I believe, the second worst scoring defense in the entire league. They haven't been shy about giving up points. That's never been an issue. So how much are you looking at this game, and how much should the Bears be looking at this game? Because here's my thing. After the Cleveland game, you're like, okay, they can win these other three games, and it's not going to mean as much because playoffs are probably not happening. I mean, they got like a 3% chance to make the playoffs even if they went out. So I'm asking you, every week we do this, Olin. We look at the game and we say, well, Justin Fields looked okay, or Justin Fields didn't, or Luke Getsy's play calling was good, or it was trash. At what point, and I guess the end of the season, we'll know in 3 weeks, do you think Ryan Poles or Kevin Warren or whoever's making these decisions has already made some type of decision on, if it's not Luke Getsy specifically, this entire coaching staff?
I think we can all agree that they're leaning one way or the other right now. They're leaning one way or the other, and when you watch this game, I at least got to see my guys do. Everyone knows what the Cardinals' defense is coming in, second worst in the league. They give up a lot of yards. They give up a lot of passing yards. I think they're decimated in the secondary coming in. You'd like to see Mooney get going. I don't know if Cole Kmet is going to be out there on the field. I would imagine they're going to have a hard time slowing down DJ Moore and Justin Fields. Defenses like this struggle. If the Bears can get any semblance of a run game going, get their offensive line rolling downhill, the Cardinals will be on their heels all day. But to your question, what does that do for the future of Justin Fields and Luke Getsy? I don't know. I can't answer that question. I can't imagine much. Right? I can't imagine much if they come out here, put on a show. I thought you go against the number one defense in the Cleveland Browns, even though they had injuries, I thought that was a golden opportunity for them there. The only other thing I think you could do maybe this year is go up there in Green Bay and put a lot of points on them and look really good and really effective against Joe Barry's unit up there in the last week of the season. But as far as the Cardinals go, as far as this game, you have to all every week we talked about earlier in this segment. We gotta put who we are on film. We gotta put our resume on film every week. Justin Fields, if they don't want you, I'm sure damn somebody else does. He's got elite legs, he's got an elite arm. Does someone out there there's another coach. We all know coaches have the biggest egos. Do they think they can get him going, put him in the right situation to make plays?
You certainly had a teammate who had a lot of those physical traits that were always really – coaches were encouraged by what Jay Cutler could bring to the table, and then you kind of cycle through some coordinators and some head coaches throughout your career, and you know, maybe there's a ceiling that will end up getting reached there. This segment with Olin Cruz is brought to you by the Illinois Department of Transportation. Road safety is not a game. Learn more at itsnotagameillinois.com. Olin, a few weeks back, maybe over a month ago at this point, when Nate Davis was prepared to return to the lineup, you felt really strongly back then about keeping Tevin Jenkins and Darnell Wright together on the right side of the formation. And when that decision was being prepared to be made, I felt like, man, it makes so much sense to put Nate Davis back at the spot. He's excelled at his NFL career. We've seen Tevin Jenkins play well on the left side. But then, frankly, since then, the run game just isn't the same run game that it was when Jenkins and Wright were next to each other. So what were your concerns about moving Jenkins at that time? And do you see that as a part of the reason why the run game hasn't been the same?
I do. I think my concern was it's been a long time around here, Big Ant, and for the Chicago Bears, that we've had an elite side of the line. By that, I mean an elite run-blocking group together. And I thought Tevin Jenkins, Darnell Wright, and Mercedes Lewis together were an elite side of an offensive line that you would run downhill behind in critical moments. And we've seen since then, like you're talking about, on short yardage situations, them struggle a little bit, right? Because where do you go? You got to have sometimes, like you guys know, you got to have times, man, when the whole stadium, the guy up in section 400 knows where you're running the ball and people still can't stop you, right? The Philadelphia Eagles quarterback sneak. A play like that. A play where, like, look, guys, we're running this gap play downhill behind Tevin Jenkins, Darnell Wright, and Mercedes Lewis, and there's nothing you can do about it. And that's what I was worried about. I agreed with you about Tevin. You can put him somewhere he can play well, right? And he can do a good job, and he always does that. All the questions about him has just been his health. Mm-hmm. And Nate Davis, a very good football player when he's playing well. You know, he's been in and out of the lineup this year. It's been kind of an up-and-down season for him. I think some of that is consistency is just not playing a whole lot of football. But that was my worry, Big Ant, when they moved Tevin Jenkins out of that right guard spot. I really liked that right-sided offense side. I really liked that double team. I really liked the way they were all working well together over there. And like you know, Chicago Bears offense over the years, right? I was there 13 years. I've been watching them ever since as an analyst. Not a lot of elite players and or an elite side of an offensive line or elite wide receiver unit, elite tight end unit, elite. We find something elite. If it looks elite on film, in my opinion, leave it alone. Mm.
Yeah, that's a good point. One thing they will be leaving alone, I think, at this point is Montez Sweat, right? Like, he just let him do what he does. Right. They traded for him. They gave him all the money. And now he's like, that was a good investment. I want to know, just, Olin, through your nuanced view, who else is really standing out to you since the Montez Sweat trade, as far as who else has been affected, you think, in the most positive manner, whether it's in the back of the defense or up front alongside him? Because this defense has been different. They have been difference makers in the fact that they've had so many turnovers created in the last 4 or 5 weeks.
Well, there was a guy now. He was standing out before Montez showed up, man. And I wonder if Big Ant would agree with me. But Andrew Billings.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say
this guy plays football, man. I mean, he's been getting after guys. And I tell you, I tell people this. Montez Sweat looks like that because the Bears almost had everything else. They just needed a pass rusher, right? Billings has been dominating that middle of the offensive line. TJ Edwards now doing really good things. Love watching him play. Savvy, tough, hits people, comes downhill. You know, I think, again, I mentioned Matt Bowen on his Instagram page, put him blitzing and running over Kareem Hunt. I mean, you love those kind of football plays. But let me keep the spotlight on the big man in the middle, Andrew Billings, man. He is – I'm a center, Big Ed, you know that. He's a handful, man. I watched him get that heavy tilt. He does that return stunt. I know I'm getting into like things now where I talk about certain schematic things. The listeners think, what the hell is Olin talking about? But I love watching Andrew Billings play. I remember from the first – I think it was the first play of the year. I got to go back and look. But I think he threw the Green Bay Packers center on his back. And I was excited from then. I've been talking about him ever since, how he's anchoring the middle of that line. So I actually think Montez Sweat is benefiting also from the way Andrew Billings, Justin Jones is getting going a little bit. I'll let Big Ant break down Javon Dexter's technique against the run. Just really, that defensive unit's been fun to watch. I mean, gosh, guys, 14 takeaways in 4 games. Give me a break, right? Out of their 23, now they're 6 in the league in takeaways. 14, and they're 2-2. That's almost impossible. You make 14 takeaways and be 2-2.
Olin, you're making me sad because when you say it like that, man. And the wins and losses don't match up to what that should be, I look at Lucas like, I don't hate anyone, Olin. I want everyone to do well at their job. You know, I don't want to see anyone lose their job, but man, no. Luke Getsy got to go. Luke Getsy got to go.
No, I mean, to your point with Justin Fields and this offense and the things, it just has not looked the way you want it to look at this point in the season, right? And just going into that game, even though I didn't like that it was tied after the way the defense played, right? You didn't like that part about it because the defense was lights out for so long. Of course, they had their breakdowns again at the end of the game, which they have to go over and look at. You know, the Lions game last year when it was 31-30, the Denver game this year, obviously the defense did enough to win that game. But as far as when you get to a point, we all wanted what, guys, last week? We all wanted to see Justin Fields in a critical situation with the ball in his hands. Mm-hmm. That's what we wanted to see. That's what I wanted to see. If I'm Ryan Poles, that's what I wanted. You guys played that clip of me. You can tell I'm still frustrated about that, watching those play calls on that drive. And if you ask me, if anything, at the end of the year, if they bring Coach Getsy in the office, and like you said, you don't want to talk about another man losing their job, and we all know the kind of work they put in at Hallis Hall. But if anything seals the deal, it'd be those three plays.
Now, I've been as critical of Luke Getsy as anyone. There was a moment in the game, the 4th-and-1, where he did get Justin Fields on the move. And yes, Darnell Mooney, and there's an option to maybe keep the eyes down the field where you got DJ Moore out in space. And that, to me, is at least a run-pass option sort of moment where he got Justin Fields on the move on a 4th-and-1. It was an exceptional play by Cameron Mitchell, the defender, Bolingbrook High School, one of their finest. Rated Pride is my high school I went to here in Chicago area. But he made a great play getting inside of Darnell Mooney and just narrowly stopping Justin Fields on 4th-and-1. That, to me, was at least an example. There have been so many examples where, like, all right, why in this scenario didn't you get this athletic guy on the move? He did there. Justin Fields didn't make that play. And so that, to me, that's more, and it can be split up so many ways. That one is more on Justin than on Luke.
Is it more on Justin or is it more on Darnell Mooney, though? Because from where I was looking, I was like, if you just get a little bit more of him, he's not getting shoestringed coming around that corner.
There's no doubt about that. But I don't want to sit here and say that every time something isn't perfect, that Justin is blameless in it either. Like, I would have liked for Darnell Mooney to get a better piece of him, sure. But that's a play I expect. Justin has the ability to make that play or to even have his eyes down the field, maybe feed it to DJ. And neither thing happened on that 4th-and-1 at a critical moment in the game. So, just in fairness and balance, I want to make sure I've been critical of Getsy, but I want to point out I didn't mind that play call.
I love that call. I hit finally. That's
right.
Me watching a layperson, if you will, Olin. I was like, finally, something that looks like it makes sense.
Olin. Well, let me jump in on that because, okay, so I'm with you, Big Ant, and I'm with you, Mark. I love the play call. I love it, man. And then here's my problem with it. And you guys, everyone talks about Mooney, and it's great. Justin's got to make that play. And then here's another part about it. I've seen a lot of offense coach. I've been a lot of offenses. I've never seen the offensive coach the quarterback to boot at 4 to 5 yards, right? You get away from the other side of the end where you're booting from and you get 6 to 8 yards. Mm-hmm. He looked shallow to me, Big Ant. He looked like he came out quick. Justin did. And if Justin Fields takes a normal boot on that play, I think he's around the edge easy, right? And we heard Getsy say he alluded to. He said this week, it was execution on that play, right? That's what he said. It was execution on that play, and I think that's what he's talking about, right? And everyone talks about this thing, mental toughness at the end of games. Make the play. You know when you mental toughness, when you make the play? 2 weeks before when you're practicing that play correctly. In practice, you have to do it right. You have to have the details down because if you don't, during the game, they'll come around. I could be completely wrong on this, and they could have coached 4 yards and come out quick. It'd be the first time I saw a boot coach like that, to be honest with you.
And you're not allowing yourself the opportunity to get leverage on that defender. And the defender
made
a really nice play. But yes, and that's where, a guy like Tom Brady, the prime example of a guy who's just at his best late in games. But Tom Brady, I never saw him as a guy who necessarily got better late in games, but he certainly continued to be excellent late in game.
In the execution and doing exactly what needed to be done in that moment.
That can be hard to do when you know the game is on the line and some players do that at a higher level. Because we're talking QB, Olin, and a point I made earlier in the week, I'm curious for your thoughts on, because if the momentum seems to be moving where the Bears would decide to at least bring another quarterback in, if not move on from Justin Fields. But regardless of that, my concern with the franchise, and you were obviously, you did it offensively here for a long time, one of the great players on that side of the ball in Bears history, the development of the quarterback position is where I wonder whether or not the Bears are putting something in place to make sure that they're developing offensive skill players in general, but especially quarterback, because whether it is Justin Fields or Mitchell Trubisky or, you know, Jay Cutler or other first round picks, we just haven't seen the Chicago Bears have infrastructure in place where the results of quarterbacks, once they get here, really get better and consistently turn in to excellence at that position. A lot of other franchises around the league, they cycle through QBs and find a way to keep winning. What would you say, in putting into words, what is the separation there between where the Bears haven't been able to, maybe you get a blip a season or two here or there, but some teams just continue to win at a high level regardless of QB, and the Bears don't?
Yeah, you know, Rex Grossman, Kay McNown, right? 1999, and just on and on and on about developing quarterbacks and what it takes. And the Bears should study their history, right? Go back and look at how you built teams. Go back and look at the infrastructure you put around a quarterback, what you saw on film, what you did from when you got it. Because let's be honest, guys, playing quarterback in Chicago is hard. And I always tell people this story. I was here for 13 years. You walk on a football field, there's Brad Biggs, there's Dan Pompey, there's Moon Mullen, there's all these Hall of Famers. There's maybe we're leading the league in media at camp, right? We got 30 or 40 people there. The fans are all there. It's a great place to play because of the interest, because of how much people talk about. You turn ESPN on, they're going to be talking about the Chicago quarterback. Why? Because if you tweet about him, you'll get retweets and likes and responses, and people are always wondering about the Chicago quarterback. I went to New Orleans, guys. I walked on the field at 8 o'clock in the morning because it was 100 degrees, and they were selling margaritas on the fence. It was a totally new world, and there was one media guy there, and I didn't know who it was, right? I had no idea. So the spotlight on the Chicago Bears quarterback and understanding that and having the infrastructure around him, not only to develop him as a quarterback, but to get him ready for the media, the questions are going to be asked, put him in a position to succeed and get him moving forward, because they've tried to put quarterback coaches around him, right? Nagy, Heffer, right? They got all these guys here, DeFilippo, right? That was, to me, Big Ant, a good plan, right? They had all these quarterback coaches for Mitch Trubisky, and even that failed. You got to take a good look at why it's been so hard here to succeed as a quarterback. I like to tell people always ask about the offensive line, right? They always ask about the offense. I say, look at the draft picks. Look at who was successful and who wasn't, and how long it's been since you actually drafted an offensive lineman in the first round who succeeded. I think you got to go back to Jimbo Covert and Keith Van Horn. And guess what they did that time? They won the Super Bowl, right? So you go back. Now you finally got a high draft pick. Darnell Wright looks like he could be the guy. Looks like he could develop into a good football player. So if you're the Chicago Bears, do me a favor. If I have the time, all my free time, to go back and study your history and look at the way you built the team, right? Okay, Olin, man, look at that defense. That defense is doing great. You're damn right they are. They gave $100 million to a defensive end and $70 million to a middle linebacker, and they got 3 second-round picks in the secondary. And they hit on Andrew Billings. Of course they're doing good. Give me $100 million left tackle. Give me a $70 million wide receiver opposite DJ Moore, and give me a TJ Edwards playing running back, and let's see what we're doing on offense.
Yeah, you might have a chance. You might have a chance if you do that. Before I let you run, also, you know, it's a holiday season here. Is there anything, any splurge in your years of buying gifts around this time of the season that stands out that, you know what, you, the wife, anytime you guys are hanging out, you kind of puff your chest like, hey, remember that time I set you off with this or that?
We have 6 kids, so we're saving every penny we can save for those 6 kids.
I definitely feel you on
that. I respect it.
Right. All right. Oh, well, we'll be hearing you on Sunday morning and Sunday post game as well, man. Cannot wait to listen. I always do. Great stuff, great content that you provide, man. Happy holidays to you.
Appreciate it, guys, man. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.